Well, we appreciate each one coming out on this cold evening. We do know how easy it would be just to stay home and enjoy the warm fire if you have a fireplace and so on. But we appreciate you coming out, and may God bless you for taking this time out in your evening to be with us tonight. Well, again, we have to get right into our chart, because it seems like the older I get, the longer I talk, and the less I accomplish. But we want to get right into the book of Genesis, where we left off this morning. And as we look at this great portion of God's Word, you know, it's one that just thrills my heart and soul as I look at this chart. And I want you to remember to bring the boys and girls each evening and to ask them to invite their grandpa and grandma and all their relatives to come, because, you know, it'd be wonderful to have the children here night after night. Now, I know what you're going to say. They have school. They have tests. They have all kinds of things, and it's rough being in school today. It's not like it was when you went to school, because you went to school in the dark ages, and it wasn't as hard as it is today. Well, my mother and dad raised 6 kids, and every time there was a series of meetings, they had a B at the chapel. It was right next door to our house, and we had no excuse. And when we'd say, "Dad, I've got lessons," he says, "That's fine. Do it from 3 o'clock or 3:30 until time to go to church. That's enough time. And if you got too much homework to do, then just go to school the next day and tell the teacher you didn't get done because you had to go to church." And that was the excuse we'd give at school. But we always got it done. And you know, when I did some pastor work, I've been pastoring a couple of different places, helping the assembly in this capacity. I noticed that when we had a series of meetings, a lot of times I'd visit the saints, and I'd watch sometimes that their children wouldn't go to bed right away at 9 o'clock and so on and so forth, and it was school nights, and they'd keep them up. But as soon as we had a series of meetings, boy, did mother and dad get strict about that bedtime. Shame on you mothers and dads. Why aren't you interested in bedtime 365 days out of the year instead of just when a gospel preacher comes? Listen, you don't want to raise a heathen. You want to raise them for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want your children saved, bring them to special meetings. Listen, they get the garbage, and I shouldn't use the word garbage, but they get a lot of garbage thrown at them at school from the devil's side. And tonight again, I'm going to hit a little bit on evolution again, because some of our children are really going through it. And beloved, the devil is kicking up his heels again because he thought he had the Christianity conquered, and a lot of people did not believe in the creation theory from the Word of God. And he's getting worried because there's a lot of scientists and a lot of other people that are believing in the Word of God, and they're staking their reputation on the Scriptures. And beloved, you are either believing God's Word or you're believing the lie of Satan and of men. You can't follow either one. Now, theistic evolution, I didn't mention it this morning, is you might as well class that right in evolution as well, and put it right in with the devil's group. Now, I know that hurts a lot of people's feelings, but brother and sister, if you're agreeing with that, all you're doing is trying to mix up God's creation with the theory of man instead of going that God said and it became. Now, I want to say this when I speak. Sometimes I get very strong in my statement, and you might blame your preacher for it, either Welcome or Brother Rod. Don't worry about blaming them. They didn't say it. I said it. They might not agree with me. They might be 160-degree opposite from what I believe. And I haven't asked them. I haven't checked on what they believe. I'm just preaching what I believe. And so if you want to get after somebody, get after me. I'm the one that said it. Don't get after them. One preacher I was through, he got so many phone calls, he said, "I've been bawled out more for your messages than I ever have for any message that I have ever given." And he said, "I don't think it's fair. I probably had to get up and tell the congregation, don't get after him anymore. Get after me." But it was a funny thing. Nobody did come up and get after me. But I did get a 3-page typewritten letter on big paper that really let me have it. Well, so much for the commercial. But that's all right. I have my opportunity to say, and you will have yours as well, and I'll try to keep my mouth shut and let you just work on me as hard as you can. But, beloved, let's realize that as we come into the Scriptures, we have an eternal God, eternal Son, eternal Spirit. Now, you know this microphone, I have to have it because of the largeness of your auditorium, but it reminds me just like a dog on a chain. You just didn't go so far. When this morning, a couple of times, I thought I was going to be choked to death. But if I die, it's the brethren's fault. All right. the eternal God, eternal Son, eternal Spirit, for an eternal purpose. I'm glad that I believe in an eternal God, and an eternal Son, and an eternal Spirit, for an eternal purpose. God did not make us by accident. He wanted those that would worship Him of a free will. He did not make us a robot that we might just push a button and we'd do exactly what He said. He did not make us accept the Lord Jesus Christ. He has never forced one sinner to be saved. It's of your free will that you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not force you to be saved. He never forced me to be saved. He exposed to me the Word of God. I believed the Word of God, and I was saved. I trusted in this book. And beloved, let's remember, we're either trusting the theories of men, or we're trusting what God has said. God didn't say that the earth was just 6,000 years old, or 7, or 8, or 10,000. But I believe, and this might shock you, and I might lose a lot of people tonight on this one statement, and some people say you should never tell people that you believe that. But I honestly don't believe that this earth is much over 6 to 10,000 years old. And a lot of scientists are with me as well. Dr. Morrison, if you don't have his tape, you should get his tape. I believed it before I ever heard him, but I'm sure thankful at least upon one scientist on my side. And beloved, what a great thing it is to see that we can believe this. Now, a lot of people say that they believe, as we pointed out this morning, as the chart points out here, the gap theory between verses 1 and 2 of Genesis. Brother Booth points out in his chart that there was probably 1,000, maybe 1,000,000, maybe 2,000,000, maybe trillions of years in between verse 1 and 2 of Genesis, where God created the heaven and the earth. Some feel that it was when Satan fell from his covering cherub that the earth became in a chaotic state. God judged it because of Satan's downfall. Now, if you take the gap theory, God bless you. You might be right. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But I want to tell you one weakness in believing this. One weakness is, beloved, if you believe in the gap theory, and this is why I cannot believe in the gap theory myself, is because you have to have death before sin. Now, the people that believe in the gap theory feel that there were dinosaurs maybe before this time, before the flood. Well, beloved, I believe that there were dinosaurs on the ark. I believe, as you find in the book of Job, the 33rd chapter, that big animal there that breathes out fire from his nostrils and also has that long tail that knocks down cedar trees. Now, this is one place where I think your Scofield notes are very wrong. It calls it an elephant. And, beloved, I have never seen an elephant's tail big enough to knock down any cedar tree. Have you? No, I think Scofield messed up there a little bit. That's why we can't have confidence in this preacher or in any preacher or in any man. We have to accept God's word for what it is. I believe that Noah himself, when he was on the ark, had those big animals there. You might say, well, where in the world did they go? And another thing, preacher, if you say that the earth is just 6,000 to 10,000 years old, I've got you right now because it takes so many millions of years to make coal and gold and oil and all the rest. Let me ask you something, friend. Do you believe in an eternal God? Do you believe in an eternal Son? Do you believe in an eternal Spirit? Do you believe it's for an eternal purpose? Let me ask you something. How did God create Adam and Eve? Did God create Adam as a little baby? And did God nurse Adam as a little baby until he got to the age of 20, 21, 22? Did He watch him through his teenage years? No, now the Bible doesn't say that. He said He made man in His image. He was full grown. Well, how old was He? What stature was He? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But He was a full grown man. When He brought woman to man, and we'll check this out in the scriptures tonight, He took one of the ribs from man's side and He made woman. And He didn't make that woman just a little baby that He'd have to care for until it got up to the age of 20 or 25 years old to take it as His wife. She was a full created woman at the age of a womanhood, of the age of a manhood. If it was the age of 20 or 40, whatever God put in man, I don't know. But I know they were full grown. Beloved, if I have such a small God, and if you have such a small God that has to wait thousands of years to create gold, He isn't much of a God. When my God made the heavens and the earth, and you find this right in the book of Genesis, as it says about the rivers that comes out of the Garden of Eden, there was gold, and there was precious stones as the onyx stone. God had it right there. He created them. He created gold. He created coal. He created oil. He created all of these things for our benefit. Now you might say, well, also the bones are turned into oil and so on and so forth. Well, beloved, and into coal. Well, all right. It's a fellow right down in Ohio. Told me after one of my messages when I was spouting off like I am now. He said to me, he says, I'm so glad that you pointed that out. Because he says, I get so sick and tired of people throwing up to me that it takes so long to make oil. He says, right down in that plant, not far from here, it's right outside of South Pony, Ohio. He says, I make oil every day of the week, 7 days a week. I make oil in 8 hours out of coal. Well, where is all this billions of years that it takes to turn it into oil? Beloved, you see, when God made something, He made it full grown. He didn't make a tree just a little sapling and waited for thousands of years for that tree to grow up. He said, and He spoke the word, let there be green grass, there was green grass. When He said there would be herbs, there were herbs. When He said there would be trees, there were trees. When He created man, He made man in His image, full grown. How hard is it for me to believe that in my God? It's not hard for me. Now, maybe you're too intelligent to believe God. But, beloved, then you're believing man. Are you going to believe man instead of God? Is that what you're resting your reputation on? Now, listen, I have lived a half a century. And, you know, as I get old, the older you get, sometimes your views get settled. But I've believed this all my life.
Please turn your tape over. Thank you.
The first time I was sitting in a classroom, and they told me how old those ape men were, and so on and so forth, I said, oh my goodness, I never knew the earth was that old. I told my dad, he said, oh, good night, son. He said, they're starting to teach you evolution. I said, is that what they're trying to teach me? I said, well, Dad, I have better sense than that. I know I didn't go, and I was just a kid, and I was considered one of the dumbest one in the class, and you might know that now by what I said. But you know, anyway, I knew better than that, and they'd get up, and I'd just ask some little stupid question, and the teacher would say, well, you have just been taught by Mama's religion. Why do they always hide behind Mama's religion? Why don't they give us the facts if they have them? Why don't they give you the exact date when this earth was made? Because they don't know, just like I don't know. We don't know, beloved. And why should I believe some man that's got a degree that he hasn't got maybe a degree from the Word of God? Listen, God opens up the eyes of the blind. And that's why He says in His first chapter in the third verse, and God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light, it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. And I want to show you something here at the start of this message, and I want to get this over to our young people, because people, remember, you're either trusting God or you're trusting man. And I want to point out, and I'll turn to that scripture in Peter, what I told you about a few moments ago, and I don't want to forget that, but I want to bring this in first. When God said, let there be light, there was light. And the earth was created, and light came, and He separated the light from the darkness. The light was day and the night was darkness. And that's the two. And beloved, we still have the same two classes of people tonight in this audience. You're either a child of light or you're a child of darkness. You're either a child of hell or you're a child of heaven. You're either a child of Satan or you're a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either in the dark or you're in the light. If you're following man's theories, you're in the dark. And you might say, well, I don't believe that. Well, why don't you believe it? Why don't you believe the Bible? Because you have been taught all of your life, from beginning in school, right on to the age of college and through college, you have been taught evolution, evolution, evolution. Every time you hear any person on television speak and they start to give their data, they always say the world billions and billions of years old. The reason that you can't come down and stoop down to just think that the earth is young is because you have been brainwashed over and over, day after day after day, hearing the devil's lie that this earth is billions and billions of years old. He's done a good job. But beloved, why don't we look at God's Word? God does not say that it isn't billions of years old. But God shows to us that He created things. And the trouble with theistic evolution is you try to bring in a little bit of evolution, that God works through evolution. Isn't that a wonderful thing to try to comfort the scientists with? The scientists would buy that, all right. They have to have a start somewhere, just like I brought out this morning. There had to be a supreme being to start it all. Of course, some won't agree that he's still living. But, beloved, we have to go according to God's Word. Now, why don't they believe God's Word? It's much easier for me to believe God's Word than the theories of men. Honest it is. It's much easier every time I've heard, and I'm not trying to poke fun, and I try to apologize to you, to everybody that's got a degree, and I'm not going to apologize anymore, but I've heard so many people give me all kinds of things, and I itch my head and scratch it, and I said, good man, you're not supposed to do that. You know, you're not supposed to do that at all. But I say to myself, where did he get it from? And I end up with this one question. I either have to believe you, sir, or believe the Bible. Now, why don't I believe them? Because my Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and the 3rd verse, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Beloved, if you believe the lie of Satan, the reason you believe it is because you're lost. And you need to come to the end of yourself to see that Jesus Christ can save you. You're lost. And what does the scripture say in the 4th verse? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind. The God of this world, Satan himself, has blinded their minds. What did he do to Eve in the Garden of Eden? He blinded her eyes and said, that fruit is good to take of. God don't want you to take that because he doesn't want you to be as wise as he is. He lied. And beloved, he's been a liar from the beginning, and he's a liar tonight, and he'll be a liar when he ends up into the lake of fire, when God Almighty casts him into the pit. And all of those that follow his devices and his lies will end up there with him. Notice what it says, in whom the God of this world. What does the God of this world do? Oh, beloved, I get so sick and tired of sometimes people worrying about what people say. Young people, why do you worry what people think about you? Why do you want people to think well of you? Why not take a stand for Jesus Christ? If they laugh at you, what difference does it make if they think you're crazy? What difference does it make? As long as you have your focus right on the Word of God. For you know, in the book of Isaiah, if we had time to turn to it, we'd turn to it. But in Isaiah 51, it says that God has a little law. And you know, it's always the, a lot of the ones that believe in evolution always take a little white moth. And they say, you know, that's their greatest thing. They always say that white moth, and the reason it was white in the very beginning is because the atmosphere was so clear. But then when the atmosphere became polluted, the moth became dark too. Well, it's still the same species, it's still a moth. Still the same thing, but that's a great argument, you see. Well, beloved, it's still a moth, but you know my Bible says about that little moth they make so much of? It says that the moth is going to eat them up like worms. Those that think that you're stupid for believing the Word of God, God has a little moth, a little white moth, to come down and just eat their bodies right out. He says, why worry about those that make fun of you? Beloved, why don't us Christians stand up for what Jesus Christ wants us to stand up and believe the Word of God and think with the Word of God? The trouble with most of us, we want to be popular with the gang and we want everybody to think well of us. Well, beloved, why don't we go according to God's Word and take a stand for Jesus Christ? And young people, that's a challenge for you, to stand up for Jesus Christ at school and don't be a Mickey Mouse. Fall for every trick of the devil and try to go along with the gang and ruin your life. Just like we saw one of our famous football players as he pleaded this last week before the judge to be lenient on him, that he made a mistake. Oh, beloved, wouldn't it have been an awful wonderful thing if he had never started on drugs? Now he's going to be put away in prison, away from his family. And, of course, he didn't want to be put away from his family, but he broke the law. And no doubt the jury that found the man guilty would have wanted to let him go. But, beloved, they couldn't do anything but condemn him. Because he broke the law. And God's going to condemn you when you break his law. Always remember that. And the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, beloved, the God of this world blinds their eyes. And if you're not saved here tonight, you might say, that fella is the nuttiest preacher I've ever heard. Well, you won't be the first one that said it. Others have said it too. But I've seen some of those people that thought I was nuts come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know what? My eyes have been opened up. You can't understand this Bible, sir. I don't care if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a professor. I don't care how educated you are or uneducated you are. You can't understand this Bible until, first of all, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you receive the Lord, He gives you 20/20 vision spiritually. And you will never understand this book until you accept Jesus Christ. You will never understand the Word of God. This book won't even be a good textbook to you. And that's why you can't read. And this is another thing that I have found out. People that make fun of the Word of God. The reason they make fun of the Word of God is they have never read the Word of God. I'll give you a challenge. If you're outside of Jesus Christ and you're a smart individual and you think you know so much about this earth, I dare you to read the whole Word of God. And I'll say this before you get through the Holy Scriptures. If you read it with an open mind and pray just before you read it, God, or reveal to me if you're there. He will reveal Himself through the Word to you and start and read the whole thing through. I notice this, that most people that criticize the Bible, they only know a few verses here and there that they've heard somebody else repeat, and they have been too lazy to look it up themselves. Why don't you find out for yourself instead of believing someone else? I've been studying this book for 37 years. I've been preaching full time, looking at the Word of God, or I should say, preaching 37 years full time. 27 years I've been preaching full time. But for the last 37 years, I've been studying this book and going over it and reading it and studying it. And beloved, I'm thankful that I believe in the Word of God. Now let me show you one thing before we get into the Garden of Eden. And I want to do as much as I can here tonight. Let's look at the book of Peter. 1 Peter for a moment, and I want us to see a verse of Scripture, rather 2 Peter, in this portion of God's Word in the 3rd chapter, and in the 9th verse it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Beloved, the reason the Lord Jesus Christ has not come for His church yet, the bride, as will happen here when we study it this week, the reason He hasn't come for His bride is He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want any sinner to go to the lake of fire. He doesn't want them to believe the lie of Satan and be damned. He wants to save their precious souls. And beloved, through each one of these dispensations that starts with a blessing, the dispensation of innocency started with a blessing. God put Adam and Eve in a garden with no sin. Started with a blessing, but it ended with a curse because man is a failure. All the way through the chart, and that takes away humanism. You know, today we have a lot of humanism around. They think that man is getting better, and you can do better and better, and you're looking so much better that you're getting greater and greater. Don't you believe a thing of it. You're getting worse and worse, and if you look into your body, you will find that out because it's decaying. From the time you were born to the time you die, it starts to decay right away. And you're going downhill. If you don't think so, just look in your mouth and see all those old molars are disappearing. And if I don't get something done, mine are all going to go. And I'm going to have false teeth. But you notice here, in the garden with perfect innocency. Listen, when God put man there, after man sinned, He brought judgment. The judgment was putting man out of the garden and clothing him with an animal skin. It started with the blessing of an offering. And all the way through, each one of these dispensations starts with the blood. The blood. And as it goes right through, it's always the blood of the Lamb. And beloved, that's exactly what we'll see. The bloodline through the Holy Scriptures of God's Word. When you cut the Bible, it will bleed because it's a blood sacrifice that God is looking for because man sinned. Now, in Peter here, we notice that God is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want any boy, any girl, any man, any woman to be in a lake of fire. He wants to save you, and He has an eternal purpose for you. He wants you to live with Him for all eternity in a new heavens and a new earth. Everything that Adam lost here in the Garden of Eden, God gives back to us. Even the tree of life that we eat, the 12 manner of fruit that comes on its fruit tree 12 months. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, that the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And they said, now, do you believe that? I dare to say if I asked any child practically 10 years or older, they'd say, yeah, I believe that could happen. But when they talked to us kids, we didn't believe it. But you know why the young kids from 10 years old and under would believe it, or over would believe it today? Why would they believe this verse and us older people here tonight that were raised years ago before 1945? Why couldn't we believe that verse? We had to step out in faith. But I haven't heard any scientist or any teacher mock this verse anymore. You know why? Because in 1945, the U.S. government, Mr. Truman, sent our plane overseas to Japan and dropped the atom bomb. The elements melted with fervent hate. They don't laugh at it anymore, do they? What are our campuses doing tonight? Are many of our universities, they're having marches with signs. Get rid of the atomic bomb. Get rid of the hydrogen bomb. Get rid of this and get rid of that. Why? Because they know that the elements can melt with fervent hate. Was Peter so ignorant? No, Peter wasn't ignorant. Peter had the message from God. God said at the end time, I'm not going to send a flood to destroy the earth like I did. There it goes. Praise the Lord, brethren. Can you hear me without this? Maybe I, can you switch me to this microphone? I'll just try to talk a little louder. All right? All right, where was I? The elements melted with fervent heat. I'm glad that I didn't get burned up with it. All right. Here we go. We notice that as in Adam and Eve's case, when he brought this judgment upon the earth, they were judged for their sin. But, beloved, during the days of Noah, God brought the flood upon the earth. And he destroyed the earth with water. But he made a rainbow in the sky. And he said, I'm not going to judge the earth anymore. And he said, I'll give you the bow in the sky that I won't soak the earth anymore with water. But he said, I'm going to reserve the earth for fire. And in the end time, I'm going to destroy this earth with fervent heat. Oh, beloved, they used to bring out to us, what are the elements? So sarcastic, as their tone of voice would snarl, make us look like some stupid idiots. What are the elements? Well, I'll tell you what the elements are. They're water, they're air, and Webster Dictionary gives another one, fire. All right, we notice that hydrogen fills the ocean, for water is two-thirds hydrogen mixed with oxygen. When God takes his great syringe and he pulls all the hydrogen that is in the ocean away from the oxygen or the oxygen away from the hydrogen, you will just have a great explosion. Just a big blast. The elements will melt with earth. But you see, back before 1945, we didn't know about the atom. Oh, a few scientists knew about it. Einstein knew about it. A few others. But the rest of us people didn't know about it. The average teacher in the school class didn't know about the atom. They didn't know how many atoms you could put on a pinhead like they know today and all the rest. They didn't know about the hydrogen bomb. And this verse used to be a big verse. Now, beloved, do you think I can believe man after living 53 years? Do you think when men have told me so many lies against the Word of God, do you think I want to take up and believe them now? I'm sorry, sir. I can't believe you. I have found out that this Word of God has been true. Every time I turn to the Word of God, I find that it's true. And it hasn't been made a liar to me yet. God has been very faithful in giving us what He says in His Word. But now let's go into the Word of God, and I hope this really challenges you young people not to just believe everything you're taught. Search it out. I'm asking you not to believe what I say. But as I read in the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He wants you to reason with Him. He wants you to listen to Him. He wants to have you have an open mind to see what the Scripture says. Don't close your mind and just because somebody has said to you, oh, that's mom and dad's religion. That's just a cop-out. And if I have a teacher here and you use that to some student, shame on you for being such a coward. Why do you try to make fun of somebody? Why don't you come out and say, I don't know. If you want to believe that, believe it. Listen, let's be honest. The world is full of lies. Let's be honest one to another. And I have found out this, that most of the time when we're searching the Word of God, we try to be as honest as we can. And I try not to knock down anybody. And I try to give them every benefit of the doubt. But I want to tell you now, you're going to have to do a lot of convincing to try to convince me to believe in evolution. You're going to have to do a lot of talking. Because, beloved,
My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust in Him with my soul's salvation because I believe He's the eternal God. Now, beloved, as we get into the Garden of Eden, a lot of people say, well, if we had a perfect environment, we wouldn't have any sin. And if everybody had a job in the United States, there wouldn't be any more robberies, there wouldn't be any more breaking in, there would be just perfection. And that's what we need, is perfect perfection by giving everybody a job. And then we'd be all satisfied, everybody a car, and everybody a chicken in their pot, as Roosevelt promised us during the time when I was coming up. Everybody would have a car in every garage. And beloved, these things came to be. Now, we're not having it quite so good right now, but a lot of people think if we only could give everybody a job and feed the whole world, we'd have a heaven on earth, and nobody would fight anymore, and it would just be perfect. Nonsense. You still have the soul of man that sinneth. The soul that sins, it will die. And beloved, as long as you have the old sinful Adam nature within you, you're going to sin. And you're going to follow the desires of your heart. Now that's what the Lord Jesus Christ saw when Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit. Beloved, what a wonderful thing it is to see in God's provision that He gave for Adam and Eve in the garden. But you notice, during this perfect time in the garden, there was no sin. And they were in perfection. Everything was beautiful. God found Adam, and He saw that Adam was very lonely. Notice the 20th verse of the 2nd chapter of Genesis. It says, "And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." There was no helpmeet for him. And Adam was lonely. And God saw that he was lonely. And He didn't want man to be lonely. Man was made in the image of God. And God walked with him and talked with him. But He saw that though man had all of these animals, and all the fish of the sea, and everything that was under his control, everything obeyed Adam. Adam was in complete control of the universe. He could go up and pet that lion and that leopard. He could go up and play with the serpent. He could do anything he wanted, and he named them. But beloved, he was still sad. And God said, well, Adam, you're in that garden. You take care of the garden. And then God said, we will make him a helpmeet. Notice the 21st verse. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto man. Beloved, he brought this woman unto man. He was the first one to perform an operation. God was the first one to open up the side of a man. Now, why did He do it? Beloved, God's mind was always from eternity future, looking forward to the death of His Son. He knew that man was going to fail. He wasn't caught unawares. He knew that he would sin. He knew he would take of the forbidden fruit. He knew the downfall of the man, and He gave him the choice. And beloved, you have the same choice tonight like Adam and Eve had. You have the choice either to serve God or to serve Satan. Whom are you serving? You have the same choice. Adam had a wife given to him. And God opened up his side. Just like the Lord God looked at Calvary and at the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, my son is going to have a bride. And one day the Lord God allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to be put on a cross of Calvary. He allowed that soldier to pierce his side, and from that side flowed blood and water mingled down to the ground. And beloved, from that wounded side of Christ, He gave Him the bride, which is called the church, which you and I make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful that God gives us an illustration right in the very beginning of our Bible as He makes the operation? He takes that rib from Adam and makes woman. He opens up the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, and from that riven side of Christ where blood flowed from, He makes us a bride for His dear Son. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come for His bride and take them home to heaven. I'm glad that I'm saved. And I'm glad that I believe that. And beloved, you notice the next thing that we notice, it says in the 23rd verse, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they both were naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, why weren't they ashamed? Beloved, the Scripture tells us that God made Adam and Eve in His likeness. I want us to turn in the book of Psalms to the 104th Psalm for a moment, and I want you to see what Adam and Eve were clothed from. They were made just like God. Notice in the 104th Psalm in verse 1 and 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Thou coverest Thyself with light as with a garment. Thou stretchest out the heaven like a curtain." Now, beloved, God covers Himself with light. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were covered with the garment of light. And their eyes were not opened up until they sinned. And when they sinned, then they saw their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together. And man was found naked. But he wasn't naked in the beginning. He was made in the likeness of God, and he was clothed with light. What does God do to every child of God that's saved here tonight? We're clothed with the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. We're clothed with light, the light of the Son of God. Now let me show you a contrast, because I just have 2 or 3 minutes. But I want to give you this tonight before we leave. Beloved, Satan himself was clothed, as you find in the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we don't have time to turn to it. You can read there where it calls him the Son of Man. There he's not a god, he's just a man, and some people think that Satan is one running across the earth with a red suit on, with a pitchfork in his hand, and he's going to be the general in hell. He's not going to be the general in hell. He's going to be tormented day and night. Don't you believe his lie. Don't you believe that he's going to be there with a red suit. Satan is the most beautiful person that's ever been created. God created Satan so beautiful that it was his downfall. And Satan looked at himself and said, as he was a covering cherub, "I will extend my throne over the throne of God. I will be greater than God." And 5 I wills in the book of Isaiah, this 5th chapter, will never be fulfilled because it's a lie from Satan. All of those 5 I wills are gone. Satan was covered with glorious stone. I believe that's one reason that God has allowed even this world to be attracted to God of this world. You notice I said that Satan, he's the God of this world, has allowed women so many times to love diamonds and bracelets and all these trinkets that he gives from Hollywood. Not that I'm saying anything against them, women. Please don't think that. I'm not asking you to bring down your diamonds here and give them to me tonight, because tomorrow morning I might cash them in. No, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not poking fun of your jewelry. You can keep it as far as I'm concerned. It has nothing to do with heaven or hell. Now, you might like that and you might not. But anyway, Satan says this to the people out in Hollywood. "I'll give you all of these nice fur coats. I'll give you all the fame and your name written in light. I'll give you all these precious stones for covering if you only give your body and soul to me." And a lot of women give their soul and body to Satan, and they have to sell themselves. And the ones that are in Hollywood are trying to be the leaders of our women. And don't you godly women be led by those harlots of Hollywood. And I hope you erase that from the tape so I don't get sued. But anyway, beloved, we notice that a lot are going down to the pit and trying to bring our girls down to the pit with them. Satan has offered them a beautiful covering of stone. Satan himself was covered with precious stones. Read it in the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. God said, "I'll strip you." And he took off the covering. And naked tonight stands Satan before God. He's been stripped of his covering. He's been stripped of his position. And he's wanting. Just like any sinner's wanting. But beloved, we notice Adam and Eve were stripped because they believed the lie of Satan. Satan was stripped. But God says, "Oh, I love Adam and Eve so much that I want them to be clothed upon. And what they lost, I'm going to give it back to them." So the eternal God, the eternal Son, and the eternal Spirit allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to come down to Calvary. And oh, I wish I had time to turn to the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew and look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a God man, my Creator, stands before the world, and the soldiers strip him. And Jesus Christ is naked for you. For me, he was stripped that we might be called upon. Have you ever thanked Jesus Christ for being stripped for you? Can you imagine this world stripping God of his clothing? But they did. And they were so foolish that they stood there and said, "Let his blood be on us, on our children." And the blood of Christ, my friend, is either on you or is for you. The Christian reads that verse in the 27th chapter of Matthew. His blood is for me and for my children. Praise God tonight, my friend. Are you covered by the blood of Christ? Jesus Christ allowed Satan to strip man. But Jesus Christ was willing to come to Calvary and to be stripped that man might be clothed upon. To give you His righteousness. To give you His holiness. Beloved, tonight in the closing moments of this message,